Welcome to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio, your source for learning more about fly fishing in cold water, warm water, and salt water. Hello, I'm Roger Maves, your host for tonight's show. On this broadcast, we'll be featuring Aaron Jasper, and he'll be answering your most important questions about fly fishing near New York City. This show will be 90 minutes in length, and we're broadcasting live over the Internet. If you'd like to ask Aaron a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. And while you're there, make sure you sign up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Just fill in your name and email address on the form on our homepage, and we'll keep you informed. This broadcast is being recorded and will be available for playback on our website within 24 hours after the show ends. So if you have to leave early, you can return to our website at your convenience and listen to the broadcast at any time. The content of this broadcast is copyrighted and the property of the Knowledge Group, Inc., doing business as Ask About Fly Fishing. Recordings or transcriptions of this program cannot be distributed or sold in any form. When we return, we'll be talking with Aaron Jasper about fly fishing New York City. Federation of Fly Fishers needs your support. Its conservation projects at both the national and club level are addressing critical issues of importance to fly fishers. It is involved in the Mangrove Recovery Initiative in Florida, in the Trout of the Desert Southwest Initiative to help the recovery of rare native trout, the Endangered Fisheries Initiative, and is helping to prevent the introduction of harmful aquatic species to new waters with their Clean Angling Pledge. The Federation won a National Conservation Award for its efforts. To continue this great work on behalf of all fly fishers, the Federation needs to increase its membership. It needs more concerned anglers willing to join in support of such projects, and by doing so, give something back to the sport that has given so much to each of us. Join the Federation of Fly Fishers today and help support their fine work. For more information, go to the Federation website at www.fedflyfishers.org. That's www.fedflyfishers.org. Before we introduce Aaron, we'd like to let you know about the great gifts we have to give away tonight. For our drawing tonight, we'll be giving away a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers and a one-year subscription to Fly Fusion magazine. So you have two chances to win tonight in our drawing. Now, if you haven't registered yet for the drawing, you can do so now. Just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and look for the link under Aaron's section that says, click here to register for our drawing. Click on that link, fill out the form, and we'll announce the winners at the end of the show. We will also be giving away a copy of Aaron's DVD, European Nymphing. Here's how you can win. You must be the first person to answer the question we ask at the end of the show. The question will be about something we talk about during the show, and you must submit your answer along with your name and location using the text box on our homepage. So listen closely, use your best typing skills, and maybe you'll win Aaron's great DVD called European Nymphing. Tonight our guest is Aaron Jasper. Aaron Jasper fishes an average of 200 to 250 days a year and has been fly fishing since the age of 7. Aaron has been fortunate to fish some of the greatest trout streams around the country, fishing extensively in the eastern United States, as well as traveling across the country to experience some of the very best fly fishing available out west. As a result of his travels, Aaron has learned many techniques, flies, and rigs that have enabled him to constantly grow and improve as a fisherman. In recent years, thanks to his very close friend Davey Wooten, Aaron has become a true student of many European nymphing techniques and other methods of trout fishing, along with traditional style wet fly fishing. Aaron has become a great source of European nymphing knowledge. Aaron has always been happy to demonstrate a variety of Euro nymphing techniques, from short leader Polish and Czech methods to longer leader Spanish and French techniques. While this style of fishing is an investment to learn, it is very often unequaled in its fish catching potential. In 2007, along with his friend web designer Justin Massimo, Aaron Jasper founded Trout Predator Online, a fly fishing community specifically aimed at disseminating and sharing good information about fly fishing techniques and destinations. Since then, the community has grown to over 2,600 members, is home to some of the very best information on the web about European nymphing. Aaron and Justin produce multiple short videos every month on everything from fly tying tutorials and tips to short destination adventure videos. All can be found on their website, including information on European nymphing techniques. Well, Aaron, welcome back to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio.
Glad to be here again, Roger.
Well, we've talked the past couple times about European nymphing and given us some great insights into those techniques, and I'm sure those are techniques you apply on a lot of these streams and rivers in and around New York City as well, right?
Well, yes, but, you know, there's a lot more to it. I got shown a lot by Davey, especially on some of my home rivers that I thought that I had it all figured out, and you know, sometimes it takes someone like that to show you that you don't have it figured out. So,
yeah.
You know, there's times when it does work and there's times when it doesn't work. So figure that out by watching that guy. He's a great fisherman.
Right. So, well, the more tools in your toolbox, the more jobs you can do, right?
Oh, yeah, I learned that one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have fished a lot in and around the New York City area, and who would think that there is so much great fishing right there within, let's say, a 90-mile circumference of New York City, but you're going to tell us a lot about a lot of the fishing there tonight, right?
Well, Roger, you know the picture on your homepage there that shows the brown trout that's about 10 pounds?
Yes. Yep.
That was caught within 25 miles of New York City in the Crow Wing watershed system. So that's a trout that somebody would, you know, think like, oh, there's no way that he caught that thing there, or he caught it in the Great Lakes or even Colorado.
Right.
But that fish was caught 25 miles north of the city of Manhattan. So there's about 21 million people, and there are trout over 10 pounds within a half an hour's drive of New York City. No one would think that.
No,
you know, you know, it's almost unfathomable.
Yeah.
But they're there.
Well, that's, I think you answered Justin's question. Justin in Princeton, New Jersey, he says, I heard about wild trout in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania are relatively small. Are there any good places to target bigger fish in the area? And you just answered the question, right?
The Crow Wing Watersheds one, can I delve into this one a little bit, Roger? Is that okay?
That's in New York, right? We start talking about first here, so.
That's in New York. There's also another stream in New York. We'll go back to the Crow Wing Watershed and how special a fishery that is. But there's also a river called the Neversink River in New York. And that's another place where you can catch large wild trout. And what's very unique about that river is that the trout are insect feeders. So they grow very large feeding on insects. So you can feasibly catch, and I've done it, trout up to 26 inches on dry flies during heavy insect hatching activity, which is the pinnacle of the American fly fisherman, is to catch a trout, a large trout, on a dry fly imitation during a heavy insect emergence. So, you know, and that's, I think, 74 miles. I clocked them all out, Roger, when I went driving around the other day, you know, to make sure I stayed within that circle. And that one's 74 miles away, and it's a very unique river system. They have, on the Neversink, it's a tailwater, which makes it good, constant flow, so it's good for the insect life, and, you know, the microinvertebrates, it's a very stable population, so the hatches are good from year to year. And it's actually the most densely populated wild trout stream in the state of New York. Most people would think that the West Branch of Delaware is, because of the numerous large fish that they catch out of there, but when New York DEC shocked the Neversink, the biomass of trout was far more dense in the Neversink than it was in the West Branch of the Delaware. So, and it's a river that's only about a third of the size, so it was very surprising to them. And it's a very unique river in the fact that generally you catch the larger fish in the downstream sections of a stream. However, on the Neversink, it's not like the rivers in Colorado where the trout are stacked up near the dam. However, like the section 10 miles below the dam is very low gradient. You know, it's a low gradient stream. And that's where the large fish are. And then the river enters what's called the unique area, which is the gorge, where we film the DVD, which is a great place for nymphing. And that's where I do the majority of my European nymphing. You know, you can use large stone flies. You know, the fish are very easy to catch there. They're very opportunistic feeders. But if you fish that section above the gorge from Bridgeville up to the dam, you never know what you're going to get. You might get an 8-inch stock trout to take your dry fly, and then the next fish could be a 23-inch wild brown trout. So you really never know. It's a very exciting, very dynamic fishery. And it's something that people drive over to drive another 70 miles to go to the West Branch. I think it's almost ironic that they do that. It's like you just pass the best place to go to the other place.
Yeah.
So that's one spot where people tend not to go. And there's plenty of river for people to fish. It's not posted that much. New York's done a great job of having angler easements along the river. So you don't run into a lot of private property issues there. And plus it's navigable. So if you had a small boat, you could, you know, fish anywhere you wanted to on that river. However, I wouldn't recommend going to the gorge because it's pretty bad. There's a couple big waterfalls in there and your boat would have problems. But the Neversink River is very dynamic. It's a special place.
Now, you said they've got browns in there and they have rainbows in there as well?
No. The only rainbows they have one club on the river, and they stock rainbows, and they do a really good job of killing them all. And the state of New York only stocks small brown trout in there. And well, they stock small brown trout and I think 1,000 two-year-old fish. However, the fish that you're getting that are big are the wild brown trout, and you'll catch a lot of like 2 to 4 inch wild brown trout, you know, if you're nymphing, because there's trout of all year classes in there because it is an excellent wild trout fishery.
Mm-hmm.
In the gorge, for example, they still have in that section of the river the original heritage strain brook trout that were the original fish in the United States.
Right.
So it's amazing that they built the dam and they were able to maintain that wild brook trout fishery. And in the DVD, I even catch a few of them. And they are just as beautiful as the fish that you would drive to Maine or New Hampshire or Vermont to catch.
Right.
So, it's a very unique opportunity because most of our brook trout fisheries here in the East are very small streams. You know, a lot of sticker bushes, it takes a lot of work to fish them. But here you have a large river and you have wild brook trout in it. So,
a lot of people don't realize that there were no rainbows or browns initially when the settlers came to the East Coast, that it was just brook trout on the East Coast.
And it's amazing that the brook trout have held their own there. I mean, there's some days where, yeah, you'll catch, you know, a lot of brown trout, but you will get a good number of brook trout. And I've caught them up to 16 inches there. That's a very nice size brook trout. And, you know, and they're beautiful creatures. The fins, they're all colored up. The spots on the fish, the blue, the purples. Just an amazing fish. And what's more amazing is when you think about it, like you drive home and you're home in 1 hour. And it's like, wow, I went there in 1 hour. And I went from a place where there's traffic jams, and I'm frustrated with the guy going 20 miles in front of me when it says 50 miles an hour, to a place where you're absolutely left alone in tranquility. You see bald eagles, you see all types of wildlife there. So it's really an amazing thing that we have such great fishing opportunities close to us.
Yeah, now, we've got a couple of general questions I'm going to throw in here now and again. But you brought up the back to nature aspect of being on the Neversink. We had a couple questions, one from Brian in Wisconsin and one from Josh in Maryland. And they're both asking about, is it safe to fish in some of these areas that are within 90 miles of New York City? I mean, are some of these areas in ghetto areas or where you might get robbed or those kind of things?
I've never had a problem, and I'm there a lot. For example, there's a lot of good streams around the Allentown, Bethlehem area, and Easton area in Pennsylvania, and those are all, you know, impoverished areas. The school districts, get Title I funds, and you would think that you would get bothered, but, it's exactly the opposite. Like, when I'm walking on the stream, and, and some of them are in parks, you don't know how many times you get asked, are there fish in there? And you tell the guy that there's wild trout, and they look at you like you have three heads, and three eyes, and it's like, yes, there's wild trout here. This water comes from the ground. It supports wild trout. And it's just amazing that there's streams that run behind truck stops, through cities, through old abandoned steel mills. One stream runs by the Crayola Crayon Factory. I'm sure I get people mad there in the summer because I go there a lot, and they watch me out of their office windows catching the trout. But it's amazing that you're fishing next to these factories in these areas where you wouldn't think there's any trout, but through the Clean Water and Air Act, they've cleaned up the water to the point where it supports, these streams can support amazing amounts of wild trout. And, I never once felt like that I was going to get robbed or that I was in danger when I went fishing.
good.
You know, I find that people are more inquisitive. You know, like they see you with the fly fishing get up, like that's not normal. Like they're expecting to see someone walking around, you know, playing basketball or, you know, holding a football or tossing, you know, kicking a soccer ball. And here you are with the fly rod and they want to know what's going on. So I've never felt like I've been in danger.
Good, good. Well, you had mentioned earlier Croton, or Croton, how do you
call it? Croton Watershed.
Croton Watershed. Richard in Beach Park, Illinois, asked about that. He says the better half of his half's family lives on the river system, and could you discuss what fishing could be done on this watershed system during family holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Easter, Memorial Day, Mother's Day, and July 4th. Evidently, it goes back to the family on all those occasions. So,
well, he needs to make more trips than that there.
A friend of mine
and I go there in the spring and in the summer. We're probably there 3 days a week at least. It's an extremely dynamic fishery. The only thing that I wish that they did was closing, you know, they closed the streams off, you know, October 15th there in that area of New York in the Croton Watershed, except for the East Branch. Now, he said he goes there Thanksgiving. His only option is the East Branch. And the East Branch of the Croton gets a pretty decent run of spawning wild brown trout from a reservoir below it. It's kind of like you know, in Colorado, how you have all the reservoirs connected and the trout run out of the reservoirs.
Right.
It's a very similar situation. And correct me if I'm not, I'm sure someone on the computer will look this up while I'm saying it. My friend Tori Collins, he's also been on the show, he told me that the 2-pound world record was caught out of the East Branch of the Croton River, and it was 14 pounds, 9 ounces.
For what kind of
fish? That's just, gives you a little bit of insight into what you can catch there. Now, the one thing that
Aaron?
You can get big fish there.
No, what kind of fish?
Brown trout.
Brown.
Big brown trout. I wish I could get one like that.
You've had your share.
I haven't broken 30 inches yet. In France, I had one on that was a meter long, and the fish is on the cover of the magazine. I came close in France, but
yeah.
Haven't gotten my 30-incher yet.
Mm.
Next year.
Next year.
But
so some of these rivers now. What about the Neversink too? Does that have a season attached to it?
April 1st to October 15th.
Okay.
Now, let's get back to the Croton Watershed because it's very unique. Like this is one that you have to get an access permit for it. And if you go to, I have the website up here, if you go to nyc.gov and you type in the NY, and you click on NYDEP, it'll take you to where you can get the permit. And it's free. They just want you to register because they're afraid of terroristic threats, you know, with the dams and everything. And it's New York City's drinking water that you're fishing. But nothing there is posted against fishing except for right next to the dam. And I can name off the top of my head 9 different streams that you can fish within the Croton Watershed, and I've taken trout up to 20 inches out of every single one of them. So within 45 minutes of New York, you have some superb angling opportunities, and whenever you have lakes, you never know what you're going to catch.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the things that keeps me going back there. Because day to day it could change. One day there's, 12-inch brown trout, or rainbow trout in there. And then the next day there are 24-inch fish. So it's a very unique fishery, what they have there. And it changes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make one more recommendation to them. They have a fly shop called the Bedford Sportsman. Charles and Todd own it. And that is a great place to get information from. They know exactly what's going on, where it's going on. That's where you can get your up-to-date information from.
And is that in the town of Bedford?
It's in the town of Bedford. It's right in the town of Bedford. They're the nicest two guys you'll ever meet. They're very excited, they're enthusiastic, and they treat you very nice when you go in there.
Terrific. Well, Aaron, we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be talking with Aaron more about fly fishing near New York City. Harper Creek Fly Fishing Company is North Carolina's premier backcountry fly fishing guide service. Located in Lenoir, North Carolina, at the base of the Blue Ridge Mountains, we fish some of the most beautiful limestone spring creeks North Carolina has to offer. Plus, our guide has over 15 years of professional experience, and in addition to the backcountry guide service for experienced anglers, we offer intensive full-day instructional trips for the novice angler. So come spend a day with us in fly fishing paradise. For more information on our services, please visit our website at www.nc-flyfishing.com. That's nc-flyfishing.com. Or call them at 828-758-2446. That's 828-758-2446. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We're talking with Aaron Jasper about fly fishing near New York City. If you'd like to ask Aaron a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Well, Aaron, last time we talked, were you working on another DVD, weren't you?
Yes, it's all film, thank God. I put enough flags for this DVD in the water. I got wet a lot in this one.
You got wet a lot? Do we get to see any of that? Are those like those outtakes at the end? You know those?
Oh no! These are called swim takes.
Swim takes.
No, the first DVD, I think, got people into it. It showed them the techniques. It showed them how to do it. The second DVD is going to be very unique in the fact that it's going to show 10 on-stream scenarios, like high muddy water, how to fish it, where to approach it, you know, how to approach it, where the fish are going to be. It's going to cover pocket water. It's going to cover the head of a pool, how to fish a small stream, like body positioning. It's gonna pick up right where the other one left off. And what we're gonna do before every single section is we're gonna film a little classroom section that shows you the rod that I used, the type of leader that I used, the type of indicator that I used, and how I weighted the flies. Because I've gotten a lot of questions and a lot of emails about this, and there's been a tremendous increase in the interest in those techniques. If you look at it, Sage has the rods. Temple Fork is making the rods now for it now. So, like, the industry has recognized that people want to do this, and there is a niche for it. And I believe in the next few years, George Daniel has his book coming out soon, too, that it's really, really going to take off, and people are really going to like doing it. Like, when I went to France, what was very interesting is I finally got to realize how it got its name, European Nymphing. First of all, you can't use split shot in France. They don't even sell it at the store. Every fly that you put on your line in the fly fishing only areas has to have the weight built into the fly. So that's why it's called European Nymphing, is because you cannot fish with the weight on the line. So, you know, and if you take the weight out of the split shot of the equation, you have better strike detection. But the next DVD is going to be very unique in the fact that I'm going to bring some different things in there and different ways of rigging and different kinds of indicators for different water types.
Cool.
You know, because as a teacher, I know that you can't teach the students, you know, Algebra 1 if they can't add.
Yeah.
So you need to, you know, have that progression. So this DVD is going to answer all their questions, and it's all filmed on public water. There's no tricks here. There's no fish that were stocked, you know, 2 days before we got there. It's all what the average person can do. As a matter of fact, one of them, I'm fishing in front of a mini mall catching wild brown trout in the state of New Jersey. So you can't get any more public than that. There's cars going by. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I always want to keep our DVDs, you know, to the types of places where the average person can go use what I teach. Because it really doesn't help if the guy sits there and goes, wow, you know, I could never catch something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yes, you can. Like, you can catch a 10, a 15, an 18-inch fish. But I don't want to have, a 10-pound trout getting caught because, you know, the average guy can't do that. And I think that that turns them off, like, to learning it.
Right.
So if they see the average...
When does it come out? When's the DVD come out?
It's going to be out in January for the fly fishing shows.
Oh, good, good.
And we should have the trailer done. We had to make the music for this one. We had a lot of difficulty finding a good track for it. So my good friend Alex made the music for it.
Oh, cool.
So it's going to be, you know, I think that it's going to appeal to a larger audience than the first one, because it's going to include Reading Water, and it's not going to be to the fact that there's a trout behind that rock and I don't catch one. I'm going to show you, like, there's a trout behind that rock and there it is on my line. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as now we, you know, as an educator, everything that I do is results driven. Like, you know, like my, you know, my teaching in the classroom is results driven. So the DVD is results driven. Like, the person isn't going to be, the angler isn't going to be told to fish behind, you know, or in front of a rock because of X, Y, and Z. They're going to see it happen.
Yeah, great.
So
well,
it's going to be very unique.
We got a question in on the internet while you were talking, and maybe you can answer this as well as where people can get your DVDs, and then we'll move on back to talking about New York and New Jersey. Question is, are you currently selling any signed copies of your DVD? I truly feel that one day a signed copy will be a true collector's item. Any
oh, my God. That,
what a plot.
You know what? It's going to sound weird when I say this, but I feel, like, very humbled when people ask me to sign something. Because, you know, I mean, I'm a fisherman. Like, that's what I am. Like, and I love to teach fishing. And I mean, yes, it's an honor to sign it, and if the person wants it signed, he can email Justin, and I'll send them out a signed copy, you know, and I'll write a little letter in there, you know. But it's just weird, you know, having someone bring me the DVD and asking me to sign it, because I'm like, I'm a school teacher and I teach fishing, and it's just like an odd thing. Like, I don't see myself, you know. 20 years from now, I see myself in the present, like, where I am,
sure.
And, you know, like, that may or might not happen. However, you know, I'd be more than happy to do that for him. I'd put a fly in there for him, you know.
First of all, what's the website that they can order DVDs on, and if they do want it signed, how should they do that?
The DVD site is called EuropeanNymphing.com, with two N's, European and then Nymphing.com, and when you order it in the cart, include a note that says that you'd like the DVD signed, and I will do that for you.
Okay, there you go, folks. Great. All right, well, let's get back to talking about fly fishing here near New York City. You've mentioned the Neversink and the Croton River system. Before we move on to New Jersey, is there another area or a stream that you'd like to talk about in New York?
It's a little bit out of the New York area. I think it's 100 miles, and that's the Esopus Creek. That's an excellent trout stream in its own right. It's a great nymphing river. It's not the best dry fly stream because the water runs dirty, but it has one of the most dense populations of wild trout on the planet. It's a good stream to take a large fish early and late in the season because there, again, it's part of the New York City water system. So there is a reservoir feeding at the top, so it gives it constant flow, and there's a reservoir at the bottom that's loaded with, you know, very, very, very big rainbow trout and brown trout. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, I used to go there with my grandpa every opening day. We'd catch fish that were 20 to 24 inches long, and of course, back in those days, we kept them. And every year you would see guys with fish that were well over 30 inches on stringers.
Mm.
So, the Esopus Creek is another one that's very overlooked.
It's Esopus, S-O-P-R-I-S?
E-S-O-P-U-S, Esopus.
Oh, okay. E-S-O-P-S.
E-S-O-P-U-S.
U-S, okay. E-S-O-P-U-S, okay, good. We did get a question, Richard in Beach Park, Illinois again, asked about brook trout on Long Island. He said he thought he saw an article about fishing for brook trout on Long Island, and he's been unsuccessful finding it. Do you know anything about brook trout on Long Island?
I went to the Carmen's River once, and I got one about 4 inches. So I'm not going to lie to him and tell him that the streams are loaded with them. But I do know that the Carmen's River does have some. However, there, the stocking of the brown trout, I think, has pushed the wild brook trout you know, to the side, you know, and has, you know, cut down the population of fish tremendously. It's a smaller stream, so it, you know, like they outcompeted them. And right. I think that, you know, it's a very sad thing. Because I think that we should be doing our very best to protect the actual native species of fish that are in the river. So the Carmans River does have some. The Nisagok River is mainly a stocked brown trout fishery. They're both spring creeks. You know, one thing I didn't know is that Long Island and New York City, believe it or not, back, you know, in the day before civilization, were two of the largest aquifers on the planet. So in New York City, they used to catch giant wild brook trout before they built the buildings and the subways and, you know, kind of cemented it all over.
Right.
Lots of springs, lots of, you know, there's stories of, like, the settler brook trout in New York City before they destroyed it.
Yeah.
Like we tend to do with a lot of things. You know, we don't know the consequences of our actions until
on these,
it gets done.
On these river systems that we just talked about, Neversink, Croton, and Esopus, what kind of hatches do you see on these rivers? Are there anything in particular that stands out? Aaron? We just lost Aaron, it sounds like. Hold on, folks. Aaron, are you with us? Just to make sure, people, if you're out there and you can hear me, can you, a couple of you, just send in a note from the front of our website so that I know you're still hearing me and we're just waiting for Aaron to get back on. Okay, I'm trying to... Okay, sorry folks, we're having some problems. I'm going to wait for Aaron to hopefully dial back in. And if you just sit tight, then we'll wait for him to come back. Sorry about that, but these things happen, so. Okay, hold on, folks. We've lost Aaron. We're going to try to get him back here. And just bear with us. Okay, so I got messages here that you can hear me fine. So we've just lost Aaron. Stick with us here. Thanks for giving me that feedback. Aaron, if you can hear me, please hang up and dial in again, because we can't hear you. Aaron?
All right, I'm back. I apologize for that.
Yeah, didn't know what happened to you. Okay.
I almost had a heart attack there.
All right. Me too.
Me three, four, five, and six.
Okay. So where were we? We were talking. Oh, my last question was
about the hatches at the on those streams.
Exactly.
Well, the Neversink River holds every single major hatch, with the exception of the green drakes, because they don't have as much siltation on the bottom as the flies would need in order to actually hatch in the stream. The gorge section of the river has the highest population of stoneflies in the in New York State. So if you fish there and you fish the European, you know, nymphing methods, or you nymph period, all you need is a stonefly on your line to catch fish. You don't. It's not rocket science there. So it's a very enjoyable experience because it's something very unique to the East where you don't need to, you know, fish, you know, small flies or fish, you know, hatch imitating flies.
Mm-hmm.
Attractive flies work very well. So it's almost like a Western style experience there.
Good, good. Okay. Well, let's take a quick break here and then we'll come right back and we'll talk about New Jersey. Okay?
Yep.
Keeney's Fly Shop in Sacramento, California features classes on all aspects of fly fishing. They have an extensive inventory and fly tying department and a friendly, experienced staff whose primary goal is your complete satisfaction. Among their many services, one can book private waters or take advantage of their international travel service. Visit their extensive website at www.keeney.com. That's K-I-E-N-E.com. Or call Keeney's Fly Shop at 1-800-400-0359. That's 1-800-400-0359. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio, and we're talking with Aaron Jasper about fly fishing near New York City. If you'd like to ask Aaron a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Okay, so moving right along here, talking about New Jersey, let's kind of take the same approach. Give us your lay of the land and some of the high point river systems there.
New Jersey has more trout fishing than one would think. I would probably, you know, for wild trout, I would probably say that the South Branch of the Raritan, which I wrote about in Eastern Fly Fishing, and a stream named Van Kampen's Brook are probably the two premier streams for wild trout in New Jersey. New Jersey does have a lot of water temperature fluctuations. So on you know, some summers, like last summer, we had a lot of rain. So there was a tremendous amount of holdover trout in the streams. So the fishing is very good. But on the wild trout streams, it's very, very consistent because there's good groundwater sources, so the fish can make it through even the most harsh summers. And there's one brook trout, you know, wild brook trout stream within, you know, pretty much view of New York City,
mm-hmm.
called Bear Swamp Brook, which flows into the Ramapo River. So within probably a radius of 8 miles, you can catch wild brook trout. So I find that one pretty interesting. And that's a stream that I used to frequent as a kid. My aunt would drop me off, and I got to fish all day. And she'd pick me up when it got dark out. So, a lot of fond memories there. Even though the fish aren't big, you know, every once in a while you would catch one that was 10 inches, and that was a giant one.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to rise. And again, who would think that within, 5 to 8 mile radius of the city, you could catch a wild brook trout? You would never think that.
Right.
However, you know, even though New Jersey might be seasonal for most of the rivers, there's still the opportunity for the average guy that works in Manhattan to get on a train, you know, get to his car and go fishing for an hour. There's lots of places, and New Jersey does a great job of stocking the river and making sure, you know, stocking the streams and making sure that there are fish for the people to catch.
That, I'm trying to get I think we had a lady ask, and I can't see the screen right now because I'm having some problems here myself. But
we're both having problems. At least I know I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I'm having some reviewing the questions online, some issues with that. But there was a question about, are there places, whether it be New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania, that you could take a train and go fishing? In other words, get off the train and walk and do some fishing.
The Croton Watershed, for sure.
Okay.
Croton Falls train station is from the east branch of the Croton, the lower east branch, is a couple hundred feet away, and then the west branch of the Croton would be about 1,000 yards away.
Wow.
So yes, you could get off the train and go fishing. And in Brewster, the train station, you could take a cab ride, or you could walk if you feel that, you know, you're tough enough. It's probably about a half mile, so I'm lazy, so I would definitely get the cab. And you could be fishing within, you know, 45 minutes of leaving work, which is, you know, something that can't be done in most places in the United States.
Right, right. Well, we got a question from Jerry in Newark. He asked a couple of questions. One, New Jersey fishing, is it even worth it? Are there wild fish? Is there any chance to get a trophy? And he also asked about the wild brook trout, which you were just talking about, right?
You know, about fishing in New Jersey and the trophy, I've been fishing in New Jersey since I was probably 4 years old, with the spinning rod and then with the fly rod and, you know, like back and forth. And out of the South Branch of the Raritan, I've only caught 4 trout over 20 inches. However, when you do get that fish, you know that you have accomplished something. So a trophy is what you make of it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like the South Branch, I consider a 16-inch fish equal to a 24-inch fish somewhere else. Because if you think about it, like, that fish has made it through a lot. There's no special regulations in the stream with the exception of the Ken Lockwood Gorge, which is a section of 2.5 mile section of stream that's heavily stocked. The upper parts are all wild trout, and most of it's, a 6-fish limit. So people are killing the fish. So to go there and catch a 16-inch wild trout, which there's quite a few of them, is quite a feat. And that is a trophy in my book. And, you know, most certainly, living in Newark, you're right off of Route 78, which easily takes you to the South Branch of the Raritan. And the South Branch of the Raritan has more wild trout than one could catch in their lifetime, I firmly believe. And, you know, is it worth it? Yeah. It's a short drive. It's not like you're driving out to State College, Pennsylvania. Rather than taking a 3-hour drive, now you can take a drive that's 40 minutes, and you can be fishing almost every day.
Yep.
Like, people ask, like, how do you catch a lot of fish? It's because, you know, I go all the time.
Right.
And I take advantage of all these local spots. Yep. And a lot of guys don't.
Well,
so
State College, Pennsylvania. We got a question here on the Internet. George in State College. And since you've been talking about this, he wants to know, what's the best big trout fishery in the New York, New Jersey area, in your opinion?
The Croton Watershed.
Croton, okay. And then to follow that up, I got an anonymous question here. And you were expecting this one. You want to guess what the question is, Aaron?
Where do I get the big trout on the Internet?
No, the one you are pictured with. The brown trout. Which branch of the Hudson was it? And could you
the Croton. It was on the east. It was in the east branch of the Croton.
There you go. No GPS coordinates, Aaron.
The lower part. That's all you're getting out of me. Well, the stream's only 3 miles long, so.
Oh well.
All right, fine. Lower third, okay? Is that better? Lower third and the deepest part in the lower third, and it was there.
Oh, that's pretty good information, I'll tell you.
Yeah, no. You know what? Like one thing I've learned about fly fishing is it's about having fun. And, you know, like, people who keep, you know, my grandpa always said, the people who have secrets really don't have any secrets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what, like, that's where I caught it, and I hope that you catch one like that.
Yeah.
You know, it would make my day to see someone, you know, say, wow, Aaron, you know, I went there, and I caught a 28-inch brown trout. I would high-five the guy, you know. It's exciting to me, so I hope that it's exciting to other people.
All right. Well, you talked about the Raritan in New Jersey. Any other fisheries you'd like to talk about there?
Well, one very interesting fishery, which isn't the easiest one to fish, but it's a favorite of mine, is Van Kampen's Brook. It hasn't been stocked in, I think it's like 60 years, and they did stock some brook trout in there, and they stocked some brown trout. But it has wild trout of all three species, and quite a large population of them, and they're not too small either. And it's a very underutilized resource, and it's in a national park. So it's funny, like, you're driving up the road, you're coming home from a stream like the Flat Brook, and you're like, oh, I'll go fish, Van Kampen's Brook. And here it is, 4:00 in the afternoon, you'd think the water would be beat to a froth, and you work the water with like a dry dropper combination, and you come up with a couple dozen fish to close out the day, all beautiful, you know, wild rainbow brook and brown trout, and you're just amazed that no one goes there. And, you know, it's not a place where you're going to catch a 20-inch trout, but you're going to catch a lot of beautiful 6 to 12-inch trout. And, you know, a trout's a trout, and it's fun fooling them. And that river, it's particularly fun for me because it's hard to make the cast. There's brush. There, you know, like the river changes character. So, like, one section you might want a nymph. One section you might want a dry dropper. One section dry flies only because the water's shallow. But the whole thing is loaded with fish. They've never done an electroshocking there, but I wouldn't be surprised if people, you know, were shocked with the actual shocking numbers of fish. It's quite an amazing stream. And then another one I'd like to mention is the Muskeconk. Like, that's another stream that's not, you know, fished enough, in my opinion. A guy by the name of Brian Cowden, you know, we call him the dam taker outer. He works for Trout Unlimited, and he's doing a great job, you know, restoring the Muskeconk River. That's another one of our larger watersheds in New Jersey to what it was pre-dam era. And through Trout Unlimited and getting grants, he's very proactive, and he's turning that river into a fantastic trout fishery. And that's a river that runs through a limestone valley, so you don't have the fish mortality that you do in other streams in the state. So the stock trout hold over. Most of the tribs have wild trout in them. And since he's taking out the dams, it's increasing the water flow, and therefore it's providing more habitat and more room for the wild fish to move around and spawn. So the Muskeconk River would definitely also be on that list.
We did get a question here specifically. This is Dennis in Brooklyn, New York. He said, could you name the best river in New Jersey, which is a perfect place for beginners? Basically, do you know any river in New Jersey that doesn't require a lot of skills to catch wild trout? So for a newbie, which one of the New Jersey rivers would be the best?
For a newbie to catch a wild trout, I would say the South Branch of the Raritan, probably number one. And then Van Campen's a close number two.
Okay.
And the Upper Passaic River, believe it or not. Tom Gilmore actually wrote a book on fly fishing the Big Apple. And he, you know, I must admit, like, I live near the Passaic River. And when people hear the Passaic River, they cringe. It's like the most polluted river you've ever seen. Mm. Like, it is real, it's pretty bad. But the headwaters hold amazing numbers of wild brook trout, brown trout, and rainbow trout. So there's another stream with all three species, but they're small.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be an excellent place for somebody to go and catch wild trout that are not pressured. Because we all know if there's not huge, the possibility.
Lost you again, Aaron. Okay, folks, sorry about that. We lost Aaron again. Just cut out. We'll just hang tight here and wait for him to come back. And hopefully he'll get that done rather quickly here. Don't know what the problem is on that end, but I'm hoping you can hear me. Somebody could send a message and let me know that you can hear me. Then I'll at least know we're still live here. So hang tight. We're waiting for Aaron to dial back in. I don't know if he keeps losing his connection or what the situation is, but hopefully we'll be back here in a second. Okay, so you guys telling me you can hear me? Good. Then we'll just hang tight. Hopefully he'll be back here in a second. And we'll talk more about, finish up with New Jersey and move on to Pennsylvania. yeah. Somebody wrote in, tell Aaron to watch his cheekbone on the cell phone. Yeah, I don't know if he's, disconnecting, yeah, somebody just told me that I'm live in Lancaster. Hey, why don't you? I'm just trying to think. Look, we got Brooklyn, New York. We got Hartford, Connecticut, Newark, people from California, just looking at, you know, where people are from that are online right now. And it's kind of interesting. So while we're waiting, if you can just shoot over where you're from and nothing else, we can kind of see where our audience is tonight. Kind of interesting to see what's going on here. So as long as Aaron talks, you know, he probably doesn't even realize he's offline yet. So hopefully he'll catch on here shortly and can get back with us. So, okay.
All right.
There
and
you
this
are.
This is a landline, Roger. I can't believe this.
Yeah. What was it?
And it is a landline. I can't believe this.
Oh, it's a landline that keeps dropping you, huh?
Yes, this is a landline. It's Verizon Fios. So for all you guys that have Verizon Fios, I would rethink having
a,
your phone service.
Is that a VoIP system?
It's connected to the internet. It's a landline. Like it runs through the cable. Like it's in, you know, it's
right.
Verizon.
Yeah, but if it's a voice over IP, then sometimes they have problems with that. I just asked people to write in while we were waiting for you to tell me where they're from. We got North Carolina here, Newark, New Jersey, East Hartford, Connecticut, Brooklyn, New York, Woodland Hills, California, Princeton, New Jersey, Baltimore, Maryland, Beach Park, Illinois. Lots of people across the country. Okay, let's get back to it. So I think we're pretty good on New Jersey, don't you think?
Yeah, I would say we're pretty good on New Jersey. Now we can cover the great state of Pennsylvania.
Let's do it.
That's going to take the longest time.
Okay. Well, you got the rest of the show to talk about it. So what do we got there? What systems do you want to talk about there?
Well, we can talk about, you know, the streams around the Allentown-Bethlehem area. Before I mention the big ones, I'm going to mention one that's quite comical. A friend of mine, Bill Hanisch, I go to their Trout Unlimited group to speak to them quite a bunch of time. You know, I go there nearly almost every year or twice a year to give a presentation. And he referred me to go to this place called Trout Creek. And I'll never forget it. My friend Mike and I were driving down the road, and we're like, it's another place. Oh, there's definitely no fish in there. The water's too shallow. So we actually, like, said, you know what? Let's take Bill for his word. You know, he's no nonsense. You know, he tells us the truth. And we got out of the car, and there were hundreds of trout in this little tiny creek in a park in the middle of Allentown. And when I tell you, like, you know, the guy in the beginning who was saying in a bad area, This place was in a bad area. Mm-hmm. And again, like, the people were inquisitive, and it was a great place to fish. The trout were even rising to blooming olives that day. So in addition to, like, the popular spots, there's a whole host of places to fish that no one even knows about. So in that area of Pennsylvania, the Allentown, Bethlehem, Hellerton area of Pennsylvania, there's hundreds of miles of streams that contain wild brown trout. But there's a few that I'd like to focus on. One is the Monocacy Creek. The second one would be the Saucon. And the third one would be the Little Lehigh.
Okay.
And those are all streams there that have very, very high densities of wild brown trout. And they're all limestone creeks. So there's no fish mortality. So it's a very consistent population of fish year-round.
Mm-hmm.
Which in the east, you know, as we've said with New Jersey, it can fluctuate in some of the streams. In Pennsylvania, the streams, you know, stay fairly consistent with the numbers of fish. And when I pull up on the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission website, some of the numbers of fish in the streams, the guys are going to be amazed at how many fish are in those rivers. And I'll also give you their website address. For anyone that's listening, you don't mind if I do that, right, Roger?
No, go ahead.
It's pfbc.state.pa.us. And then you can click on Biologist Reports and scroll down and look at all the rivers in Pennsylvania and how many fish they hold. And you'll be amazed at what they get when they shock those streams of numbers of fish.
Can you give
thousands
that
per mile.
Can you give that URL again, Aaron?
PFBC.
PS or?
PF. PF. Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission, the acronym, PFBC.
Okay.
.state.pa.us.
Okay, good. I think we all got that.
And then once you go there, there's a link on the left side that says Biologist Reports, and you click on that, and you can go look at all the streams that they survey and the years that they survey. And one that I'd like to start off with is the Monocacy Creek.
Okay.
The last electroshocking of the Monocacy Creek. Now, here's a stream that's 15 feet wide. Okay? The biomass is 205 kilograms per hectare, which works out to nearly an acre. Okay? So that works out to about 2,300 trout per mile in a stream that is 15 feet wide.
Wow. Can't say there aren't any fish around there, can you?
And here, I'm looking at it on the internet, which I'm sure a lot of people have typed it in and are probably trying to look at it. All right, the number of fish greater than 10 inches per mile is a quarter of the fish. So fish between 10 and 14 inches are quite abundant. And those are if you think about it, you have 2,500 fish a mile, right? A lot of them are small, they're young of year. Now, you have a quarter of those fish. So a quarter of 2,500 is about 700 fish over 10 inches. So those are catchable fish. So I think 700 fish per mile over 10 inches is enough to catch.
Yeah.
To have a pretty good day.
Yeah.
And that's one stream that I frequent a lot, and it doesn't matter how many times you go there, you catch a lot of fish every time. It's one where my friend says, they take a beating and they keep on biting. Mm. He laughs.
Yeah. Now, you said these are all Spring Creek-like. What kind of hatches are happening on these?
A lot of midges, a lot of blueing owls, a lot of sulfurs and caddis. All the same hatches they would get on the Spring Creeks out west,
mm-hmm.
they get on the Spring Creeks here in Pennsylvania.
I have and you haven't talked about this one yet, but John in Princeton asked on the internet, I've heard they catch the occasional monster out of the Little Lehigh. Is that true?
That's very true. One of my friend's uncles had this fish on, and he couldn't net it. And I loaned them my Broden Pere Marquette net, which I think is 20 inches by 16 inches, right? So that's a pretty good size hoop. They couldn't fit the fish inside the net. That's how big the fish was.
Hmm.
And 2 years ago, they found one dead that was 18 pounds, a wild brown trout. However, there's an X factor on that stream. There's a hatchery on the stream, and fish escape out of the hatchery, so I think it's a feeding program over there. A fish that gets to be 18 pounds in a Spring Creek is definitely eating fish.
Yeah.
So if you're a fish and you're in that hatchery, you don't want to get out of there because big boy's waiting for you. But every year they catch trout out of the Little Lehigh that are 27 to 34 inches long.
Wow.
And the same goes for the Monocacy. Every once in a while, if you look at Pennsylvania's largest fish, largest trout caught. The Monocacy River has quite a few of the largest brown trout caught in the state for the entire year. One year they got one over 30 inches out of the Monocacy Creek. And there's a stream that's 15 feet wide. Like, whoa, what's that thing doing in there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it got dumb, and that's good.
Yeah.
Someone caught it.
Yeah, size of the creek doesn't always indicate size of the fish. I know up in Wisconsin, I used to know this guy who grew up there, and he was really an outdoorsman. And he would go on these creeks only 6 feet wide and reach under the bank and grab, 20-inch trout out from under the bank with his hand, And you'd never think they'd be in there, but he knew where they were and could just, grab them, so.
Isn't it amazing how people start myths like that? Like, oh, that's a small stream. There can't be a big one in there.
Right.
And then you go there one day and you look and you're like, oh, my God, that thing's a log. And it's like, there's the brown trout. It's a spotted log.
Exactly.
I've had that happen a lot, and that's a pleasant surprise to have.
Yeah. So those are three spring creeks in Pennsylvania. What about any freestone streams there as well?
In Pennsylvania, they have, that's the southeast corner of the state. They have excellent freestone streams. I'm going to pull up one here for Tom's Creek. which is a freestone stream that runs into the Delaware River. Okay, and my friend works for the Park Service, so he's gotten to shock the stream with the Fish and Boat Commission, and they found a trout 25 inches. And this stream, get this, it's about 8 feet wide. And this particular year, they found 1, 2, 3, 4 over 20 inches.
Wow. Yeah.
And 6, 10, 14, 18, 20, 2, 3, 4, 24 fish over 14 inches. Mm-hmm. So for a stream, and that's only a section that's 300 yards long, that's 900 feet.
Yeah.
So if that's what's in 900 feet, imagine what's in the whole entire stream.
Right, right.
And the numbers are outstanding. For 300 yards of stream, they catch, in 1 year, their best year, 920 trout in 300 yards of stream. So just do the math on what's in a mile of that stream. And that's one that I fished there one day. I had a great day there. I didn't catch any. I didn't get the 25-incher nor a 20-incher. But I caught lots of beautiful wild brown trout in that stream. And that's the freestone stream that comes out of the mountains, a small little creek. And it's not stocked, so it's a 100% wild trout population. There's the Broadhead Creek, which is an excellent stream to fish. That one is stocked, but it does have a large population of wild trout as well. That's a good one. Pocono Creek is another good one that has an excellent wild trout population. They only stock it in one spot. So if you fish above the town of East Stroudsburg, if you look at a map, you'll see Route 80 goes into Pennsylvania, there's East Stroudsburg, and all those streams are centered around East Stroudsburg, which is 62 miles out of New York City. All those streams are centered within 15 miles of there. And there's Tobyhanna Creek, which also has wild trout in it, and the furthest one that you're going to go to is a tailwater, and that one's 88 miles away. I did the math of the dam. It's 88 miles away, and it's the Big Lehigh River.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a phenomenal fishery, and it's up and coming because Pennsylvania is very, very progressive on what they're doing. So they're stocking a lot of fingerling-sized fish in there, and they're finding that they're growing very large. Like, they're getting a lot of holdover fish that are 16, 17, 18 inches long. So in the next 3-4 years, you're going to start to see some real trophy trout come out of that stream.
I got a question on the internet from Trent in Torrington, Connecticut. He wants to know, do you have a personal favorite trout stream in Pennsylvania?
My personal favorite trout stream in Pennsylvania, not within 90 miles, right? Not within 90 miles?
He didn't ask. He didn't say that.
All right, fine. All right, Big Fishing Creek.
Big Fishing Creek, that's further away?
It's further away. It's near State College, and I'm going to tell you why. You can catch a lot there one day, and you can get your butt handed to you the next day. It's that kind of place.
Challenging, and that's why you like it.
Yes, it's very challenging. And I also, another favorite is the Latorte, because I call the Latorte the test. Like, when you think that you're doing, a good job, go to the Latorte. Those fish will tell you how good you're doing.
Yeah.
So, I don't necessarily pick the streams based on what I catch out of them as
right.
My favorite. It's what I get out of it. You know, it's personal satisfaction. And when I have good days on those streams, it makes me feel like I'm learning and I'm getting better.
Yeah.
So those are the places that I go, to test myself out. And I feel that, on that stream, Big Fishing Creek in particular, under low water conditions, I think that those fish are harder to catch than some of the ones in France.
Yeah.
Because those fish are really spooky, because there are a lot of herons there, so.
Yeah, I get that picture that you can get just as excited over a 12-inch trout as you can over a 28-inch trout. Circumstances, yeah.
Yeah.
There's Vince in Connecticut. He says, although I hear wading can be really problematic, I've heard that the Mongap River has some truly large trout. Do you know about that river?
Yes. The Mongap is a very good trout fishery. Now, that's a seasonal trout fishery. What happens is the Mongap is a tributary to the Delaware River. And the Delaware River, even down in Port Jervis, like the popular spots, the trout fish, where everyone thinks, and I'll put that in quotes, where all the wild trout are from Calicoon up, which is, you know, 40 or so miles away from where the Mon Gap enters the Delaware. Well, they're wrong. There's wild trout all the way down the Delaware River, all the way down past Easton, almost to Trenton. Okay? So what happens with the Mon Gap, yes, there are resident fish in there, a small population of resident fish. I've never caught a lot of fish in there until it gets hot in the summer, because the Mon Gap is a tailwater, so the water is cool. So the fish that run into the Mon Gap are the ones that are seeking thermal refuge from the warm water of the Delaware River. So in the months of June, July, and August, if the water temperatures are, you know, within reason in the 60s, the Mon Gap provides an excellent place to fish. However, it is extremely dangerous to fish there. I would only go there if there were no generation. If they're generating even one or two units there, you could drown. Like, there's very few places I'm scared to go fishing when the water is high, and that's one of them. Because those water, the rocks in that river are greased bowling balls. I've never seen anything like it. You can fall just walking up the side of the stream there. So
be careful. Yeah,
be careful. Now, you're not going to have the best day of your life on that stream, but you are going to catch fish if you work at it. It's not one of those places where it's a numbers game. It's a large fish game. There's big fish down there in the Delaware, and they go in there to seek protection from the warm water, because it can get over 80 down there in the Delaware River. So
now, the upper is the upper Delaware River outside our 90-mile?
It's outside our 90 miles. But if someone wants to ask a question, you know, it doesn't matter. I'll answer it.
And we did do a show. If people are interested in the upper Delaware, just go to our archive and type in Delaware, and you'll see the show we did with Paul Weimer on that whole fishery there. So,
and Paul Weimer knows everything you never wanted to know about that place. He lived there for I don't know how many years. You know, I mean, Paul knows that place inside and out. And his book, he did a second edition on his book. He did a great job. The pictures are great. The book's great. He updated all the parking information, where to go. Mm-hmm. It really tells you everything. So that is an excellent resource for that stream.
There you go. Let's see if we have some other questions that came in here on the Internet. Let's see here. We've got... This is not on the fisheries, but on nymphing, so maybe you can answer Kurt's question. He's in Woodlands Hills, California. He says, hi, Aaron. When fishing the long nymph, do you still prefer to use a coiled cider, or have you gone back to inline cider like many of the competition anglers have?
Well, when I went to France, I was very fortunate. I was fishing the River Albarine, and that's a river where the French team practices, and... I think that people's idea of coiled versus straight and competition anglers is all skewed. It's all personal preference, because some of those guys were rigged up with coiled ciders, small ones, and some guys had straight ones. It's whatever you're comfortable fishing. So if you like the coiled cider, stay with that. If you like the inline cider, stay with that. One thing I will note with the nymphing that I noticed is that the lighter flies they threw, they did use a coiled indicator, because what they did is they put mucilin on it, the green mucilin, and they floated it as a floating strike indicator. Whereas the straight mono, you can't do the same thing with it. It would sink.
Mm-hmm.
So they use both to answer your question. And I think the French are some of the best fishermen I've ever seen. Mm. I was very impressed in my trip there. So
here's some other presentation questions and so forth. Rudy in Allentown says, do you like dry dropper for some of the smaller streams that you mentioned?
Do I like dry dropper? I live by dry dropper on those streams.
Okay.
I think that those streams, since they have such high densities of trout, that if you spook one, especially in like a stream like the Monocacy where there's thousands, they go and spook all their buddies. So the best approach to catch, the most fish in those types of streams is to fish far away from the fish. So if I'm going to nymph, I have to be relatively close to the fish. So dry dropper, I can make casts 50, 60 feet long upstream and cover the water in a grid without spooking fish. So dry dropper is my preferred method on let's say, the Monocacy, the Saucon. The one stream that I will fish, like, you know, normal nymphing or Euro nymph, you know, Euro nymph, is the Bushkill Creek in Easton. That's one I didn't mention. It's a larger stream. You can get closer to the fish. The water is turbulent. It's set up right for that. So the one thing that makes someone successful is choosing the right peg to put in the puzzle piece. You know, so, you know, certain streams are tailor-made for dry dropper, you know, like streams with low gradient where the water doesn't have a lot of boulders and there's not as much depth change. That's dry dropper water. If the river has pockets and runs and deeper water where you can get close to the fish or it's turbulent, that's nymphing water, Euro nymphing water. If the river has big pools, that's indicator nymphing water. So matching up the nymphing technique to where it's best suited is going to give you the best results. So I always tell people to learn everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, we talked about that on your last show.
Yeah, you know, learn as much as you can.
There's no easy button, right?
Yeah.
No easy button out on the stream, you know?
So. Yeah, yeah, you know, the guy who knows the most, you know, does the best and gets the biggest. Mm-hmm. So it's about having all the, you know, having the toolkit. Like you said at the beginning, it's about having the toolbox full of tools.
Right.
You need a wrench, you got it. You need a, you know, 14-millimeter socket wrench, boom, pull it out. So it's about having all of that and then putting it together and being successful. Like, I don't know if you read the article in American Angler magazine. Those are the exact flies that I use. Those are the exact nymphs that I use. Everything is there.
Well, since we aren't looking at that, and that's a question that Alex in New Haven, Connecticut asks. He says, what are your top half dozen flies for streams in New York, New Jersey area? Can you run through some of those?
You
had in the magazine and...
Well, okay, if I could look at back issues of magazines, I definitely like flies that are very simple, because anybody will tell you, my favorite thing is not fly tying, it's fishing. Like, I do go to the shows, and I tie flies, and I enjoy it, because I get to interact, but I would much rather be on the stream catching fish. So, a very simple fly that we use, which is called a Frenchie, you know, or Francois, whatever you want to call it. It's pheasant tail, copper rib, you know, copper ribbing. You wrap the pheasant tail up the fly. You use a bead, you know, a bead head. Wrap it up the fly. Wrap the copper opposite the way you wrap the pheasant tail. Put a hot spot on it, a fluorescent thread behind the bead. And simple as that. That thing catches more fish than almost any fly that, you know, I can create and make fancy. Another type of fly that I like is I like to use very slim flies. It's one thing I learned in France. They're not big into wire ribbing unless they're using a fly that's, you know, made out of a natural material. Like when I looked in their fly boxes, I saw a lot of flies made with krill bodies, which, you know, guys in the U.S. aren't doing that. They, you know, some people have gotten onto it where they dye quills and wrap the bodies, you know, much like what they would do with a dry fly. And that makes a very nice, slender, segmented body for a nymph. And very simple again. I use a tail. I wrap the quill body up the fly. I glue it. It's bead-headed, and I dub a thorax of, you know, dubbing, and I either put the hot spot in the, you know, in where I tie the tail in, or right behind the bead, or none at all. So I try to keep my flies very simple. You know, another good generic fly is called a hair and copper. It's hair's ear dubbing and a copper bead, copper wire. How you know, and a tail. How much more simple can you get than that?
Yeah.
And another fly that's become a favorite of mine since my trip to France, I learned a lot there, is this, just the generic Sawyer pheasant tail. You know, I mean, it's an old fly that survived the test of time for a reason. Mm-hmm. And the Prince nymph is also a killer fly. I think I told you guys the Prince nymph story. I was fishing with a guy at Penn's Creek, you know, in Pennsylvania. And he's like, wow, you guys are killing him, you know, and he wasn't getting any, and he's like, oh, I'm using a blah, blah, blah caddis, like some new crazy thing. And my friend Greg and I were just laughing, like, yeah, we're using Prince nymphs. And he's like, that's too generic. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's a Prince nymph. It works.
Yeah.
So there's no need to really reinvent the wheel. You can tweak things and put hotspots on them and flashbacks on them, but there's no reason to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
Keep things simple. Like, don't overcomplicate it. The fish have a brain the size of a pea. They can't really think much.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Tom wrote in here on the internet. He wants to know what your favorite anchor fly is. Is there one you use more often?
My favorite anchor fly. Well, in Pennsylvania, it would have to be the waltz worm. It's a crane fly imitation. And I will say something.
Can you pronounce
for the people that are listening in out west, you guys need to know what a waltz worm is. It's just hair's ear dubbing on a hook with lead underneath it. Well, actually, a lot of lead. But it imitates a crane fly, and all those meadow streams with the riffles and the mud banks, there's tons of crane flies in there. And when I go out west, very rarely do I see guys fishing with crane flies, but they work very well. And then another one of my most successful anchor flies is just the rubber leg stonefly. I mean, I don't think you can get much more simple than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm big into keeping things simple because I think that it's all in the presentation of the flies. It's the technique that you pick out and putting the flies in the right position, you know, to catch the fish. That's what does it. There's no magic fly. There's no magic anything. It's just experience, time, and learning all the techniques. That's what it's about.
Yeah, I did a show last week with Ralph Cutter.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote a book on fish called Fish Food, and he's done a lot of underwater photography. And one thing that I learned from that show, and he said his observation, is these fish are down there, and they're taking almost anything and everything into their
mm-hmm.
mouth that looks at all like food. He says twigs, rocks, you name it, they're taking it in. They may spit it out, but they're taking it in to see what it is, and because they really can't afford to let food go by. And so it kind of, you know, reinforces what you just said, is not so much about the fly, but getting it in the right spot and at the right drift and so forth to attract them to take it in, you know.
Well, you know what's great about trout, you know, and this always makes me laugh. My grandpa used to say, thank God those things don't have hands. you'd never get them. If those fish had hands, you would never catch them.
Exactly.
Because if they could touch the fly, they'd go, screw this thing, I'm not eating it.
Yeah.
But since they don't have hands, they have to try it out.
That's right.
Now, the guy who sets the hook before it spits it out is the guy who gets the most. So that's only done by putting time on the water.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank God the trout don't have hands. It makes it very easy, you know, you can get them on a variety of flies because of that.
Yeah.
And that works out to our benefit that they don't have hands. I mean, think about it. If a trout had hands, you look at all the flies in the fly bins. I don't care what fly you pick. You touch it, it does not feel natural to a fish. So thank God that they have to try it out. So that's why we catch fish. Because if a fish could actually touch it and feel it, we would never catch a fish.
Yeah.
Because we could never make something that feels like a real caddis larva or crunches like a real stonefly. We could never do that.
Well, that's a good note to end the show on because we've run out of time. But, yeah, thank God they don't have hands.
Thank God they don't have hands. That is the lesson learned from today.
There we go. Well, stick with me here for a few more minutes, Aaron, because we're going to give away your DVD, and we're also going to give away the one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers and a one-year subscription to Fly Fusion. So stick with us, and you can play with us and see if you can win Aaron's DVD, European Nymphing. The Bristol Bay region of southwest Alaska is home to the largest runs of wild salmon on the planet and some of the best trophy rainbow trout fishing found anywhere. The Pebble Mine still remains a threat to the region, and 2 million acres of federal lands may also be at risk. The entire fly fishing industry has united in this epic conservation battle. Anglers from across the country are joining the fight. Be one of them. Visit www.bb.com. SaveBristolBay.org. That's SaveBristolBay.org. And there you can learn more about how you can get involved. Well, just a quick reminder to everyone, before you leave the website tonight, please take a minute and give us your feedback about the show. You can find our link on our homepage in the section under tonight's show that says, "What did you think of this show?" Just click on that link and leave your comments. We'd really appreciate it. Now, it's time to give away our prizes. And the winners for our drawings are randomly selected from our show's registration database. And if you didn't register for tonight's show, it's too late now, but make sure you do on our next show so that you have a chance to win some of these incredible prizes we do have to offer. If you're the lucky winner, we will contact you after the show and provide you with the information on how to get your prize. So the first thing we're going to give away is that one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers. If you don't know about the Federation, you need to find out about them. They're at www.fedflyfishers.org. That's fedflyfishers.org. They're an international fly fishing organization, and they help us with a lot of conservation issues and so forth. So check them out. So our winner there is, looks like Warren Landry in Louisiana. Warren Landry in Louisiana. You just got yourself on your membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers, so congratulations. And our second drawing is for a one-year subscription to Fly Fusion Magazine. And you can learn more about Fly Fusion Magazine at flyfusionmag.com. It's www.flyfusionmag.com. Great magazine, wonderful photography, and a lot of instructional articles in there that I know you'll enjoy. And our winner of that tonight is Richard Rupp. Richard Rupp. And I know Richard sent in some questions tonight. I hope he's online. Richard, you just got yourself 1 year subscription to Fly Fusion Magazine. So congratulations, Richard's in Illinois. So we've had people all over the country and the world today listening in, and I appreciate you all being with us tonight. And now let's give away Aaron's DVD, European Nymphing. And as he said, you'll want to go through this one before you get his second DVD. Do you have a name for the second one yet, Aaron?
All right, we're good. Sorry.
What? Oh, I didn't know you were gone. So you got perfect timing. Do you have a name for your second DVD?
I think it's going to be the Playbook of Nymphing. I think we're going to name it.
Okay.
I think that's going to be the name.
Okay. So we're ready to give that away. And I'm going to need your help on this one, Aaron, to determine who the winner is. And our question is, let me clear my queue here. We had a bunch more questions stream in here at the end.
I think it's funny, my friend text messaged me, and he thought it was funny how, it went from, fishing the tri-state area to, picking the brain. He said it was funny. He goes, it's funny. He goes, at the end, all of a sudden, they're like, what about the nymphing this, the nymphing?
Yeah. Well, everybody likes to know about techniques and, those favorite flies and so forth. And you share
Well, it's about education, that's what it's about. It's mm-hmm. about helping people out.
Okay, so here's the question, folks. You need to send in the name of one of the rivers in each of the states. So I need one of the streams or rivers in each of the states, one from New York, one from Pennsylvania, one from New Jersey that we talked about tonight. Whoever gets, and I only want three. Don't send in more than three, otherwise I'll disqualify you. You only have three chances, and I can't remember them all, but if you were taking notes, you could probably answer this question. And Aaron's going to tell us if you're right or not. So, Aaron, I'm waiting for them to write in. Okay, we've got one here. And you tell me if we've got Never Sink. That's in New York, right?
Yep.
We've got Monocacy.
Yep.
That's in
Pennsylvania.
And then we've got the Raritan River.
In Jersey. The Soprano State.
Did he get it?
He got it.
That's Eric Halloran. Eric Halloran in Massachusetts, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. So our first answer is the correct one. And, Eric, you just got a copy of I mean, Eric, you just got a copy of Aaron's DVD, European Nymphing, which I know you'll enjoy and you'll be able to put to good use right away. So congratulations. So they were listening, Aaron.
Yep, they were listening. I make the kids listen, too. I put the air conditioning up. I have air conditioner in my room this year.
Yeah.
So it goes to 60 if they don't start listening.
There you go. Well, thanks for being on the show again, Aaron. We really enjoyed it. And I sure learned a lot because I didn't know there was that much fishing there and about New York City. And you've taught us that there is, and some sounds like some very challenging fishing as well. So thanks for being on the show with us tonight.
You're very welcome, Roger.
Our next podcast will be on October 19th, 7 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And on that show, we'll interview Fanny Krieger. And our show will be, a topic for the show will be tomorrow's fly fishers. So speaking of those little ones that Aaron will just that teaches every day, Fanny Krieger has been involved with fly fishing instruction for over 25 years. You may have known her husband as well, Mel Krieger, I should say. Listen into this show that's coming up, and she's going to unravel the mystery of fly fishing for children of all ages and into a simple, easy to understand, and fun adventure. So if you've got kids or grandkids, this is a great show to listen to find out how you can get them involved, whether they're interested now or not. Fanny's going to show you how to get them interested. So tune in for that next time. We'd like to thank the Federation of Fly Fishers, Fly Fusion Magazine, Harper Creek Fly Fishing Company, Keeney's Fly Shop, and Front Range Anglers for sponsoring our show tonight. If you think your company would benefit from sponsoring one of our shows, give us a call at 1-800-985-1673, extension 8. That's 1-800-985-1673, extension 8. We'll be happy to explain the options available to you. Don't forget to visit our website at askaboutflyfishing.com and make sure you're signed up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Thanks for listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We hope you enjoyed the show. That's it. Good night, everyone, and good fishing.